Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, the book So Many Humans, Too Few Rights examines a very important period of American international relations. Author William Menashe scrutinizes the post-Cold War period, that's 1989 through 2004, with several key questions in mind, including what has the United States gained by winning the Cold War? The book offers a more firm grasp on what is being done and what is not materializing as far as human rights protection in the past and how it has related to the problems the world is facing now. Williams is an Air Force disabled veteran who began working the book while in the political science program at Florida Atlantic University in Boca Raton, Florida in 2002. He holds a BA in political science, graduating with a 3.5 GPA, also attended FAU for 2 years in the graduate program. He's taught American government at a magnet program for 10th graders in Riviera Beach, Florida. The author of So Many Humans, Too Few Rights, William Menashe, with us on This Week in America. William, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Rick. It's great to be here.
Such an important topic and really so well researched in the book, So Many Humans, Too Few Rights. Talk first of all about where this interest began. What made you decide this is a book I really need to research and to publish?
Okay. While I was in the program, the political science program at FAU, back in the early 2000s, I had a professor who was my favorite professor, and I'll drop his name, Waleed Fares, P-H-A-R-E-S. And he was a Middle Eastern expert that sparked my interest in human rights. Basically, that's where everything began. I started a manuscript shortly after graduating. I set it down, picked it up, set it down, and then picked it up the end of 2017 again. And I finally polished it to where I wanted it to be.
And we are all grateful for that because it takes this very elaborate process that's evolved since, I think, 1948 and breaks it down for us and gives us some very alarming questions that we need to be asking. The book is So Many Humans, Too Few Rights. William Menashe, our guest on the program. I mentioned you take the post-Cold War period, 1989 to 2004. Talk about why that's so important and why that's the basis of the book.
Well, let's just look back a little bit in history. I mean, I don't claim to be a history expert by any means, but the Cold War between the Soviet Union and the U.S. Was very troubling time. And as it resolved, let's say that it resolved completely, there was a lot of people wondering how is this going to affect human rights internationally, including myself. And so that's when I began my research of the congressional resolutions that talked about human rights nationally and internationally. And I was surprised to find things really didn't change. As a matter of fact, I feel they may have even gotten worse.
The book is So Many Humans, Too Few Rights. William Menashe, our guest in the program, that's M-A-N-O-S-H. The book's available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. We'll go through the list before the end of the program, and at William's website as well, which is somanyhumanstoofewrights.com. I asked the question in the beginning that you ask, what has been gained by the United States in winning the Cold War? And you talk about that and then get into human rights. Is there even an answer to that question? What did we gain by winning the Cold War?
Rick, I really can't say with any certainty as far as human rights are concerned, that anything was gained. As a matter of fact, the Middle East has practically imploded since the end of the Cold War. And not that it wasn't already bad before the Cold War, during the Cold War, but since the end of the Cold War, the Middle East is a hot spot and one of my favorite topics. And as far as I can tell, there was absolutely nothing gained by winning the Cold War.
And this gave you a jump-off point right at the end of the Cold War. You went back and you did 15 years of study using the best data available and really come up with some interesting questions involving the government, how we interact with other governments, some of these governments violators of human rights, and NGOs, non-governmental organizations. How eye-opening was this for you as you were putting the research together?
Oh, it was extremely eye-opening to find out which NGOs were actually talking about the same thing as the U.S. Congress was mentioning in their resolutions, as they do in every session of Congress. At the very end of the book, I come up with a human rights report card. And for those readers that I hope pick up the book and give it some interest, they're going to find out that there's quite a bit of overlap between what the NGOs, the three big NGOs, are saying and what the congressional resolutions are reporting.
You know, what's interesting is you see a number of recurring violators as you go through that list that you have at the end of the book. And I get the impression one Congress will pass a resolution, but then it's up to the following Congress to come in, evaluate, and possibly pass their own resolutions.
That's correct. Yes, sir. And there were quite a few repeat offenders. There were some offenders that would drop off and then show up two or three congressional sessions later. So it was very interesting data. I probably could have wrote two or three chapters just on, you know, analyzing that particular data, but I left it kind of brief in the book for those readers that were serious enough to look at that data to try to come up with some conclusions on their own.
Talk about the politics of putting resolutions together in Congress. It's not just, yes, we know there are blatant human rights violations, therefore we need to pass this resolution. Talk about all the external factors that come into that. This is a country we may have links with, that if we put them on the list, if we criticize, if we push too hard, we're going to jeopardize that relationship. There's a lot that goes into this decision-making, isn't there?
Yes, so much more than perhaps the average person that follows world government and politics would be very surprised how much thought really does go into it. But if America doesn't speak up and say something, then what do we say to the rest of the world? We do have to pay attention to our own business needs, you know, trade and this kind of thing.
Yes.
Worldwide. And so America, being the most powerful country in the world today, it has to lead by example. And with the new political regime in power, there's a lot of people that say that we've actually fallen beside the way the last couple of years. But I don't know if I agree wholly or totally disagree. I'm somewhat conservative on the issue.
William Menashe, our guest on the program. The book is So Many Humans, Too Few Rights. The book is available at his website, somanyhumanstoofewrights.com. Also available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Well, let's talk about that now, William. Where else is the book available? I mentioned Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Other outlets where you can get the book, of course, information, and you can order by going to your website.
Yes, sir. The book is available on the AuthorHouse.com website. You just click on AuthorHouse.com and then do a search for my name or the title of the book. And the book is available there, only the paperback. The only place, the Amazon.com, is selling my electronic version of the book is available, of course, at Amazon.com, as well as the paperback. The book is also available at Google Books, Books a Million, and IndieBound.org.
And if you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, there'll be the direct link on to William's website as well as to Amazon. So you can get more information either way by going to our website and, of course, all of the outlets that William had mentioned. One of the areas you talk about in the book is a concept called relativity of rights. Talk about that. And this gets us into little nuances that, okay, a country is violated, therefore we have to come out and attempt to do something. It doesn't quite work that easily. Talk about relativity of rights, or you call it cultural relativism as well.
Yes, sir. I'm glad you brought that up. It's one of my favorite topics, and I actually have a blog online. If with the proper website address, you'd be able to find it, but I don't have it handy. But either way, yes, relativity of rights, cultural relativism. There are certain countries that are still decolonizing this century, last century, that are, you know, they're still backward. They have no government. They have corrupt leaders. Then they have coup d'etats. They're very unorganized countries. And basically, those rights that they talk about, those that relativity of rights, what I really mean by that is there are certain things that certain countries do that is considered normal to them. It's normal behavior in some parts of the Middle East to stone somebody that commits a crime. And people in the rest of the world say to themselves, how can that be normal behavior? Well, it's normal behavior to them because that is the way their religion has taught them. And so when we talk about a universal declaration of human rights are not defined the same way universally. And that's one of the big conclusions that I wanted to put forth in this book.
And that's one that jumps out as you're reading the book, and the book is So Many Humans, Too Few Rights. It's not as simple as somebody at the State Department saying to somebody in a country, knock it off. It doesn't really work that way, does it?
No, sir, it does not. And the sad thing is, you know, we have extremists, alarmist type people all over the world that look at these countries, you know, of course, down the end of their nose and say to themselves, how can they do that? But they're not westernized like we are here in America and the rest of the Western world. And so they feel that this is their religion. This is part of their culture. And that's why we call it cultural relativism. And so that puts a big set of brakes on the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which was mostly written at the end of the World War, where Germany almost took over the world. So, and we all know what happened there. So basically, that was a big response by the Americans to do something about human rights. And unfortunately, to this day, everything that's been written cannot be transcribed literally.
You take us back. I mentioned 1948, San Francisco, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, spearheaded by Eleanor Roosevelt. The Western version of this remarkable proclamation, I didn't realize, but I found in reading So Many Humans, Too Few Rights, there's an Islamic version of the same document, and it's not the same.
Yes, yes, sir, that is correct. It's not readily available. You probably won't be able to research and find it on the internet. You may be able to. When I was researching for this book, I was unable to find a clear document. But I was informed that information came from my professor, and I consider it to be valid. He was a Middle Eastern expert, but it's worthy of doing some research just to see what the relativity of rights and how that cultural relativism comes into play with that other document.
It's a fascinating topic. Time going by way too quickly. So Many Humans, Too Few Rights. William Menashe, our guest on the program. Let's talk about the role of public opinion in all of this. Just regular people that answer surveys that try to do things, and then you have church organizations, you have other organizations, Amnesty International, those type of organizations that are out there. Do they have any impact? Do we as citizens have any impact on this?
Well, the people that are really concerned, I'll call them the activists. And the activists are people that are givers, donate money to Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, and Human Rights First. And that's how their missions are accomplished. It's strictly through private donations. And so the strength you do have, if you're completely concerned with what's going on in this world, you do have choices in how you can become actively involved. And one of them is through signing up with Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, Human Rights First, or all three of them, and possibly donating some of your own resources to further the mission of human rights all around the world.
So often we look for an easy solution, a quick solution. As you're describing what's happening here, especially in some countries where what we think is abhorrent behavior, again, culturally, religiously, this is something they've done in their culture for a number of years. What is this, a step-by-step process? It sounds like we really need to get on the path, and once we get there, it's going to take a while before we change their minds. Again, we just can't go into a country and say, we don't like what you're doing, you have to change it, when this has been their way of life for centuries.
Well, that's correct. And every nation is considered to be a sovereign entity. And a sovereign entity makes their own rules. The people that are going to do business with those countries, like America or United Kingdom or whomever, they have to keep that in mind, that the world looks very, you know, media doesn't cover it as well as they should. They do try, but the world, you know, is going to take a very cautious eye, I'll just say, on what's going on when America does a business deal with a country that is not keeping up with universal human rights in the Western way. But as we can see already, America has asserted military forces in the Middle East and is trying to assert their authority, but of course they'll never change their minds over there.
It's such a complicated topic, and we seem to have a short attention span getting shorter as we go into this world where we want everything immediately. So through the regular media, it's difficult to get into intricate explanations, intricate world problems that we're talking about here. That's why this book is so valuable. So Many Humans, Too Few Rights by William Monash. You can sit, you can read, you can understand what's going on. Form your thoughts, determine what you can do to assist in this problem. A minute or so left. I know this is sort of a springboard for you. You're working on another book that picks up with what after the Cold War, after the turn of the century, all the problems in the Middle East. Talk about that book and how that's coming.
Yes, sir. I'm working on a sequel. The actual research place where I'm coming up with the resolutions and discovering them about human rights has actually changed since 2015. So I actually have to go to another website, and I'm trying to become handy with getting information from there. But that's called congress.gov. And so all the information is available. I want to find out from 2004 until, say, 2018, exactly if anything has improved, if we have repeat offenders, and what exactly is America doing with these resolutions? Are they being passed? You know, there's so many questions that are still out there, and I hope to have the book done within the next 6 months.
I hope that we can have you back to talk about that. This book is so important, brings up so many questions. That's why the follow-up is going to be imperative as we follow and see exactly what's happening up to contemporary times. So Many Humans, Too Few Rights, William Monash, that's Manosh, is the author. His website is somebodyhumanstoofewrights.com. Again, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places for the books. You'll get all of that when you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on directly to William and Amazon and get that information. William, it's been a pleasure. Time has gone by way too quickly. Look forward to having you back. Thank you for being with us on the program today.
Thank you, Rick, very much. It was a pleasure.
Once again, So Many Humans, Too Few Rights, William Monash, our guest. His website, somebodyhumanstoofewrights.com. Link on to all of that by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.